If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Philippians 3, 13 and 14. While you're turning, I've got a little image up here on PowerPoint I want you to see. I'm not going to tell you what man's wife sent this to me, but a woman in our church sent this to me. Says, make sure my husband sees this. If a man has enough horse sense to treat his wife like a thoroughbred, then she'll never become an old nag. So Pam, I sent... I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say it. Actually, I think Boyd Wood sent that to me. I hear I give him a hard time. That's great. Good word, though. But guys, we need to remember that. And going ahead to the next PowerPoint, God's unchanging word. I want us to read these together. Say it out loud with me. For feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God, not else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, His word shall stand forever. Amen. Praise God, His word stands forever and ever. Our scripture text, Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What a great word. God is the giver of many wonderful new things. We come to Him by faith in Jesus Christ, and He gives us, because of that faith, He gives us the new birth. He gives us a new nature. He gives us a new heart. He gives us new life. He gives us new hope. He gives us a new body. Someday we'll have a new body. And then someday in that new body we'll have a new home called heaven. And then that new body, nothing's ever going to wear out, praise God. There's never going to be a sickness or an ache or a pain. In fact, the Lord said it in Revelation 21 in verse 5. He says, behold, I make all things new. Praise God, it's going to be you and I in that new body because God's going to bless us. So once again, He's given us a new year. And for some, it'll mean a chance to have a new start. And for others, maybe it'll be a chance to live a new life, trusting Christ as their Savior. We've just celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ, and whom Isaiah described as wonderful and counselor. Let me ask you, is He wonderful and counselor to you today? Is Jesus the heart of your life? We look at this new year. May we look at it with a resolve in our hearts that with God on our side, with God's help, we're going to make it an even better year than we've had in years past. That with our priorities and our passions focused on Jesus, with our heart directed toward Him, that He will be the very purpose of every day of our life. To draw close to Him, to know Him, to walk with Him. A few years ago, Sherry and I bought a lot here in McKinney, a residential lot with the idea we were going to build a new home on it. So I had meetings with the architect to work out the design, the plan for the home, and he created some initial blueprints that we had to review and approve, and then he later completed final blueprints. Those were builder blueprints. They had framing and foundation and electrical and plumbing, all the critical parts of building a new home. Without a blueprint, without some kind of a plan, it would have been impossible to have the end result that turned out like we wanted. In fact, it would have been a mess if we hadn't had that blueprint to guide and provide an ideal of what we wanted to build. Well, a blueprint for this year, for 2021, is a good ideal. In fact, it's a great ideal. This morning we're going to look at an ideal for a spiritual blueprint for the new year. And we begin with the first important part of that blueprint, and that is we are to repent. Now, I realize that immediately many of you just tuned me out when I said that. I understand that. Somebody just turned me off without even realizing it because I mentioned the word repent. Unfortunately, most of us believers, we think of repentance as having just pertaining to that moment that we're born again when we get saved. But, and it certainly is a critical step, by the way. Repentance is a very critical step to us coming into that right relationship with our Lord and Savior, to repent of our sins and to put our hope and our trust in Jesus. But this is our reality as a Christian believer. We can be saved, we can know Christ as our Savior, and yet still lose the joy of our salvation because of sin in our lives. For example, David committed a great sin, but he was still a child of God. And he cried out, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." You know, I don't think we should ever lay our heads down to go to sleep at night without looking up to God and confessing our sins and asking Him to forgive us and make sure everything's right with God. How many of you grew up memorizing that prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." How many of you sometimes will still pray that prayer? I do. My head will hit the pillow and suddenly that prayer will just come into my heart. As we start this new year, may we realize that there may be areas of our individual lives that we need to just pause and examine. And it may be some areas that we need to pause and examine and ask for forgiveness and, yes, even to repent. Most of us in here aren't going to go to the wrong places. We're not going to get drunk on too much whiskey and we're not going to go murder someone or tell a malicious lie or steal something. I understand that, but I believe more Christians are guilty of one sin more than any other sin. And that is the sin of a wrong spirit towards someone else. See, we as believers, we can seem to be pure morally, but still have a heart that is filled with envy or jealousy or even malice or unforgiveness toward someone else. See, how can a Christian go on day by day with those kinds of feelings in their heart? If you leave this feeling out there, if you don't address it, then it's going to just eat away at your joy, your peace, and your happiness, and it's going to make you weaker spiritually in your life until you resolve to do something about it. Years ago, a fellow by the name of Joe Evans and his wife were taking a vacation in the western part of the United States, and they were driving an old Model T Ford. How would you like to be traveling across the United States in a Model T Ford? Well, they would drive through different areas of the western part of the United States, and they'd make frequent stops, and they'd look at scenery and sights. And after one of their stops, they got back in that Model T and took off going down the road. And just as they were going down the road, Joe looked down, and coming out from underneath the front seat was a big rattlesnake. And suddenly he realized he had to do something, and as was custom back in those days, he was driving with heavy driving gloves on. So he just immediately reached down and grabbed that snake and threw it out of the car before it could strike. Well, this morning, if you've got a wrong feeling in your heart towards somebody else, can I tell you, it's just as dangerous to you spiritually as that rattlesnake is dangerous to you physically. And you need to seize it quickly and throw it out forever and get it out of your life. Don't begin another day. Don't begin this new year without going to the one that maybe you've had this feeling, this conflict with, or just a bad relationship, and just pour your heart out to them. Get things right. I know some folks will say, "Well, Pastor, you don't understand. It wasn't really my fault. It was all somebody else's fault." Right? It might be so. It could be true. But as a Christian, that feeling just can't remain in your heart. Get it out, no matter what the cost. And I realize I'm not asking you to do something that's easy. But go and do it and know that God will be with you. And no matter what happens, you will have done the right thing. You're going to come away with a better feeling, and you're going to have a deep peace in your heart between you and the Lord. And however that person responds, you can't control that. You can only control what's in your heart. So this first aspect of this blueprint for 2021 is to repent. The second part of the blueprint is that we are to resolve. I received a little newsletter that I get from another minister. I got it this week, and he made the point of saying that he didn't really believe in New Year resolutions, that most of the people that made them didn't keep them, and that he just didn't think they were necessary. But I have to just disagree with him a little bit. I think it's a good thing to say, I resolve in my heart, and then finish that, whatever that resolution may be. And I understand that we may not keep that resolution all year long, all through the year, but I still think it's better to start with the resolution. If we keep it for a while, maybe we don't keep it all year, it's better to start with it and to have it as a goal rather than to never say, well, I want to be a better Christian, or I want to live closer to Jesus. Daniel, for example, in the Bible, Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. He made that resolution. He was in captivity in Babylon. He was required to eat pork and drink and eat other foods that were contrary and forbidden by the Lord. And so he resolved he wouldn't do it, and he was going to stay true to God. And God helped him. God blessed him, and as a result of God's help, he won over the king, the heart of King Nebuchadnezzar, as well as his successors. God blessed Daniel because he vowed to live rightly before God, regardless of the cost and regardless of his circumstances. In the new year, may we resolve to live for the Lord, and no matter what the cost, to give him all of our heart. As examples of resolutions, I'll get it out, resolutions in the Bible, David made two resolutions. First, he resolved to read the Bible and adopt it then as his standard for life. So it's really two. I'm going to read the Bible and I'm going to live by it. I'm going to do what the Word of God said. In fact, in his resolution, I'm paraphrasing now, he said, I'm going to keep your statutes. I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto your ways, and I will not forget your word. I shall keep the law. Yes, I will observe it with my whole heart. That's a great resolution from David. During World War I, a chaplain went out with a medic to help bring in the dead and the wounded, and they found a young man, a young boy, lying on his back with his body peppered by machine gun bullets. His Bible was in his left hand, and his hand was resting on his chest, and his index finger was pointing to John 14 and verse 6. Well, the chaplain took the Bible, and he turned to the flyleaf in the front of the Bible, and it had been presented to this young soldier by his loving mother. And in the boy's handwriting in that flyleaf in the front of the Bible read these following words: the following passages constitute the motto of my life. He had listed John 14 and 6, where Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. The second scripture reference he had in the front of that Bible was Matthew 6 and 33, where Jesus admonishes us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the third reference in the front of that Bible was Romans 8:28, where Paul tells us all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Think about it. Do you see what this young soldier was saying? He was saying that he was going to trust in Jesus as his Savior, that he was going to put him first in every part of his life, and that no matter what happened, he knew that his life was in God's hands and God would see him through it. Now, that's a great way to live, isn't it? That's a great way to live our lives. Based on Scripture, based on the Word of God, based on the one who died for you and me. Oh, in this new year, let's follow the Bible and its teachings and resolve to live by. David also made another resolution, but this resolution was about prayer. We find that resolution in Psalm 116 in verse 2, where he said, "Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live." Now listen to that, those words of David for a moment. He's saying, "Because God, I know you hear me when I pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to call upon you as long as I live." What a resolution for us. May we never stop calling upon God. May we never stop praying. We know God answers prayer. And yet we fume and we fret and we worry. Instead of taking our burdens to the Lord, we think we've got to carry them all on ourselves at times. There was a young mother who told her pastor that she prayed all the time, every day she prayed all the time. And the preacher looked at this young mother and said, "Well, now tell me, how exactly do you do that?" Kind of like he didn't really believe her, you know. And listen to her answer. She said, "When I open my eyes in the morning, I ask the Lord to open my eyes of understanding. When I'm dressing, I ask the Lord to clothe me with His righteousness. When I wash my face, I ask to God, my Heavenly Father, to wash away all my sins. When I begin my work, I pray for strength equal to the task. When I light the oven, I pray for God to light the fires of my soul. When I sweep the house, I pray for God to cleanse my heart and my impurities. When I prepare a meal, I pray for God to feed me with the spiritual manna from heaven. And when I'm busy with my little children, I pray for God to give me the spirit and the heart and the faith of a little child." She had indeed learned to pray without ceasing through every part of her day, hadn't she? What is the thing that counts the most in our praying? It's not how many times we repeat a word or how eloquent we pray or how long we pray or how sweet our voice is when we pray or how orderly the prayer may be. What really counts is that it comes from the heart, that it's fervent, that it's passionate. And you know the Bible says these words, I reference them many times, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. A passionate prayer, a heartfelt prayer, a fervent prayer touches the heart and the throne of God. The Apostle Paul also made a resolution. He made a resolution to win souls. The Bible records Paul's words, "I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Now that's a great resolution, isn't it? What an incredible thing it would be if every member of this church today resolved to win someone to Jesus this coming year. If every person in this room made that resolution and lived every day looking for that opportunity to win someone for Jesus. Can I tell you, it would make this church over. It would make you over. And most of all, it would make over that person you won to the Lord. When all the days of this year, 2021, have passed, may God grant that each one of us could say, "This year, I have laid one more soul at the Master's feet. This year, I brought one more individual to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus as their Lord and Savior." So this blueprint we're talking about today, it calls for us to repent, and it calls for us to resolve. There's a final key ingredient in the blueprint, and that's the third one. We are to remember. Remember. We must remember that we can never repay Jesus Christ for all that He's done for you and me. We were sinking in sin. We were doomed for eternity in hell. When He reached down and He lifted us up, And He put a song in our heart. And He put our feet on the rock to stay, the rock of ages. And He's given you and me every good thing that we have. All of our hope is in Jesus. Oh God, help us to remember that the greatest happiness, the richest rewards come from those that trust in Him, that are faithful to Him. Years ago, out in California, a very, very wealthy family had a daughter. And this daughter attended a revival meeting with a friend of hers. And she gave her heart to Jesus. This young daughter was just gloriously saved. And it really changed her completely. And her parents, her wealthy mom and dad, they really objected to this change in her, to this Christianity. So one morning when she got up, her mother told her, said, we want you to come in here and meet with your father and I. We're going to have a family meeting. In that meeting, her mom and dad told her, said, we just don't like this new attitude that we see in you since you joined the church and you said Jesus is your Savior. You talk too much about Jesus and you talk too much about God and heaven, and it just makes us really feel uncomfortable. And you don't ever go to the parties anymore that you used to go to and hang around with the same people that you used to be with that were all part of your life. And we want you just to give up this fanaticism. We're just uncomfortable with all this religion. And if you'll give it up, we will commit today into your account a very, very large sum that we had planned for your inheritance. We're going to give it to you now. And not only that, we're going to commit to a fully paid expense trip all around the world. You're going to see the most beautiful sights of the world and stay in the best hotels and have the best food. And it's all on Mom and Dad. We're going to pay for all of it. And when you come back from that trip, you're going to have the dream car that you've always wanted. Whatever that dream car may be, it's going to be yours. We'll be waiting for you. When you come back, all you have to do is just give up all this nonsense about this faith and religion. Without any hesitation, their young daughter looked at the mom and dad and said, Mom and Dad, I love you, and I thank you for the offer of the trip and all the money and the car, but you can keep it all because I'm going to keep my Jesus. I'm going to keep trusting Him. I'm going to keep serving Him because He's the light of my life. See, that's the way it ought to be for us, shouldn't it? It really should. See, if we keep Jesus in this new year, it will be the best and happiest year of our life. By the way, and speaking of remembering, we must remember that this may be our last year. Isn't that true? It may be our last year. This may be the year that Jesus steps out on the cloud and calls the church home. It's the rapture of the church, the catching away of the bride of Christ. It may happen this year. Or may we recognize the importance of redeeming the time, making every day count, holding nothing back and serving God and serving our Savior with all that we have. Being a bold witness for Jesus. Sharing with those around us the hope and the light of the world. There were two merchants that attended a revival meeting. These two merchants were very intense, bitter competitors in business. And the competition was just intense at times. Well, a few nights after these two merchants had been attending the revival meeting, one of the men, one of these business competitors, was gloriously saved, gave his heart to Jesus. But the other merchant, he was deeply convicted of his sin, but he didn't yield his heart to the Lord during the revival meeting. And he said to himself, well, I'm going to watch this other fellow, this competitor. I'm going to watch him for a year. If he lives out his Christianity for a year, and if I can see anything different in his life, then I'll become a Christian. And he watched the life of this competitor. And this man that had been such a bitter, tense competitor to him was completely different. He often would talk to his competitor and encourage him and even talk to him in ways of blessing his business. And the guy was just totally changed from the tense, bitter competitor that he used to be, and the other man could see it, and it was clear he was different. And at the end of that year, that second man gave his heart to Jesus, and he went to that competitor, and he said, "You know, I've watched your life for this past year, and I know there's something real inside of you. I know that there is a joy and a genuine sense of godliness about you that I had never seen before. And because I've seen it in your life, I'm going to give my heart to your Savior so He'll save me and change my life like I know He's changed your life." God help us. God help you and me to live this new year so that those around us will know that there is something real about our faith. That those around us will know there's something wonderful about this walk of knowing Christ and knowing Jesus and having that intimate relationship with Him. That there's something truly different about us because Jesus has made that difference in us. We know that God's plan, we know that His blueprints, we look at this blueprint for the year and for all the years of our lives, is for us to repent, to resolve, and to remember. And when we do that, it'll bring the greatest joy. It'll bring the greatest purpose. It'll bring the greatest sense of meaning to our life. And every day we'll have that sense that God is with us and that we're walking with Him. What a great thing that is. What a blessed thing that is. So I'm going to ask Sherry to come back with her microphone. And Brother Michael, come back to the piano with us today. We're going to conclude our worship today by making a new resolution. Actually, it's probably just reaffirming a great old resolution. And it's a song it's an old song, but some of the old songs are some of the best songs. I said that too often, I know, but I do believe that. I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, God, help us just to make a fresh and a new commitment today. Make a fresh new resolution today that I'm going to follow Him with all my heart. I'm going to give Him all that I am, and that no matter what this year, I'm going to serve Him unlike any time I've ever known Him with all of my heart. Would you stand with us today as we conclude our worship, as we sing this song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus"? We've got two or three verses of it, Sherry, just so you know.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Sing that last verse one more time.
Take this whole world, but give me Jesus.
Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for